We're on now. Can you tell the difference?
It's a huge difference.
Isn't it massive?
So big.
It's crazy. Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Ali Barta, and I'm a musician from Australia.
Well, I hope you're a musician.
I believe I'm a musician.
You claim to be one on TV.
Yeah, on TV.
Except this is radio, so we have a problem here.
Yeah.
You grew up around music.
Yeah, in and around.
In and around music. And let's see, 2016 officially was the first record, theoretically.
The first full-blown record. There were EPs before that.
And we're going to talk about Triple J because I'm a huge fan and I know what they do for artists.
They're great. They're our torchbearer in Australia.
Yeah. Irish Catholic dad, Buddhist mom, what are you?
I guess what I take from that and what I think I've been affected by is I am... So the Irish Catholic dad, so I'm, drawn to the dark side. I'm incredibly cynical and I've got a sense of humor. And then my mom is a hippie. So I'm a little bit, but I'm too cynical to be full blown hippie. So I guess I'm a bit of a cynical person who is a bit of a dreamer.
Where did that come from to be that kind of human being?
I think I've always been that way. I guess it's just my nature, but I am glad that I found music to put that into. I think it's a...
That becomes the religion.
Absolutely. And I think my music reflects that because it's lyrically quite dark, but sonically, very dark.
No.
I'm glad you picked up on that. No. But sonically, it's a lot of fun, and it's a surprise maybe if you listen to the lyrics.
But that's the greatest music in the world, and even some of the most sugar by the Archies. If you actually listen to those lyrics.
Sugar.
It's like you've got me wanting you. And it's kind of like that means I don't have you.
Yeah.
And life ain't that good.
Mm.
You know? So even the most poppy things in the world, if you really listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the poppier, the more they're poppy. Now, I'm not talking about today's badly co-written pop songs that are just a bunch of nothing. No, not that you do those, by the way, because I know you don't. But
look, I've definitely written them before, but
well,
just don't put them on my records.
Know, but so let's hit Triple J early. Triple J Unearthed.
Yeah.
When you find, and I've asked a lot of musicians, particularly from there,
mm-hmm.
about this. What's it like that moment you suddenly go, oh, wait a minute, I'm about to be heard by a lot of people.
Yeah. Well.
Or did you not have that moment?
I don't, and people often speak about the first time they heard themselves on the radio. And I think I went through some things before I came to music, things in life. I lived through some stuff. And so I'll just say it, I got sober. And so everything that's happened to me that's good has been... Look, I just understand myself and I know that what goes up must come down. So I'm very, I take anything good that happens with maybe too much salt, So when it happened, I was like, okay, cool. Now I have to do the next thing. It wasn't like, I don't.
So you don't reflect, I mean, I'm this way too. You don't reflect a lot. Or do you?
I do in a morbid way, so I try not to. I've learned that if I'm looking back, I'm usually in some sort of pain. Does that make sense?
No. And I'm going to go there.
Well, look, I think it was dark for a while. I've probably written about on this record about actual events that it contributed to my darkness, but it was a feeling, just a doom that encased me for my early 20s. And then when I figured out what the first problem was, be it drugs and alcohol, and that stopped, then I needed to look inside. And I really had no choice. It was, you hear it all the time. It's just like I was either going to put one foot in front of the other or I was going to sink into my own crap, basically, you know? And
yeah. And even if you have the most idyllic childhood,
yeah,
that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to come out that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I look back and it wasn't idyllic. I can definitely see issues and stuff like that, but everyone has them. And I guess that's the point too. You sort of go, I'm a grown up now and I can either like blame my past and my family, or what I did was I looked around and I was like, I want to be a part of the world. And so I just had a go, basically. And so I guess when people say, what was it like the first time you heard yourself on the radio? I was like, I was just having a go. I didn't put too much pressure on it. I just wanted to have a purpose.
So nobody asks these things and I do. So forgetting Triple J Unearthed. We're sitting here now. The reason you got to me is because you've got a team and you're on a cool label and you're touring and you're here in LA for a while and hanging and songwriting and meeting with beautiful and interesting people. Mm-hmm. But what exactly, where did a switch flip between, okay, I'm out of the darkness, I'm going to make my own music, I'm going to pour my heart out, and suddenly you going, oh, wait a minute, this might work.
Well, if I'm completely honest, I never know if it's going to work. I just
keep... So you don't, still don't. We're sitting here and still kind of like...
Yes, absolutely. And I
is that what maybe, drives you in the long run?
Yeah, maybe a few years ago I would have been scared to say that because people will be like, oh, well, she's not confident in herself. She doesn't back herself or whatever. But I think I come to understand that this is my nature and this is, I never know what's going to happen in the future. All I do is keep writing songs and keep putting one foot in front of the other. And if good stuff happens, then thank you, universe.
Well, and I mean, look, you're not exactly overselling when the name of your record is Hello, I'm Doing My Best.
Yeah, and that is
that pretty much says it, yeah. Doesn't it?
And you know what? That's a really good place for me to be. And I enjoy making music and living my life when I'm just being me. I'm one of those people that grew up always wanting to be somebody else and always comparing and always wanting what was over there. And so I guess part of that darkness that we spoke about and part of the reason why I used things outside of myself to feel good is because I never felt good in me. And this record is me going, I guess maybe there was a little flick switch at the beginning of this record because I was like, am I allowed to swear?
Oh, I know how to edit in Pro Tools. Really,
okay, cool. Because
well.
I don't know how else to say this. I rely heavily on swearing. I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to do my best.
Why did you dislike your last record so much?
Okay, and so this is something that kind of got misconstrued and comes back to what I was just saying is I didn't dislike the record. I didn't dislike the songs, the production. What I didn't like in it was me, and all I heard was me, and I wasn't okay with me at that point.
So how do you step back? And I know you've got a partner and, you know, who you collaborate with in addition to, you know, other songwriters, but how do you find out what the me is that you wanted to be for this record?
Well, I don't know what the me is, and maybe I'll never know what the me is, but all I knew was I had this bunch of songs that had come out of me and I felt represented me. And when I went into the studio finding this sound, basically I just wanted to, I had, you know, things I wanted to emulate. I wanted it to feel rawer. I wanted my voice to be less treated. I wanted there less synths and fluffy stuff. I wanted it to be band in the room. I wanted it to be me, basically. And I just wanted to do the songs justice. Like I just, and also let go, like go into the studio, record, do the best job you can, then walk away. Like walk away. Don't tinker at it.
Don't overthink it. So,
yes.
So did you and Oscar track it live? I mean, was it pretty live?
Yeah, pretty live. And we did very little overdubs. And I let him pick the vocal take. So I would sing it 5-10 times and then he would pick what was the best. Because if I go in there and I've got my opinions on it, you know what? I don't see myself the way the world sees myself. So, and I don't hear myself the way the world hears
me. How could you though? I mean, there is this expectation of artists that they're supposed to know themselves.
Yeah.
Isn't the whole thing about being an artist that you're constantly trying to discover every single second of your life who you are?
Totally.
Isn't that the whole, isn't that what we do for a living? It is the whole thing,
but I guess maybe, and maybe I can't speak for other artists, but when I look at other artists, I go, oh my God, they know themselves. And then I go into this pit of,
You really think they do.
You don't know what you're doing. You don't, you know. And then that's why collaborating is so great. You get to have these awesome conversations and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they're like, I don't know what I'm doing either. But let's just, it's fun. And let's make music and talk about this stuff. Because real people who, you know, normies who don't make music and aren't completely screwed in the head, or maybe they are, but
most people are, and yeah, they just will never admit to that fact.
Totally. But they don't know what they're doing either. And I think that this is like, I enjoy delving into that in my music.
So we can all be effed up together.
Absolutely.
What a great opportunity in life. Yeah. You're not much on love songs, but then there's Backseat.
Yeah, I know. I have no idea where that came from.
You're not a big love song woman, are you?
I'm not. But maybe it's more about the person than the song that happened. I don't know. I'm in a good relationship.
Who is that person?
His name's Oscar Dawson. He's my husband. He's a very excellent human being.
Which came first, Heather's or the song?
Ah, the song. I mean, I'm a big, I think I must have watched Heather's after I wrote that song. I was like, that's the film clip. Like, boom. That's right. Exactly what we're doing. But yeah, I'm a big Winona fan. So any Winona film, I'm trying to work out how to put other films into my music videos. So watch this space.
Got it. So you talk a lot about your relationship to yourself,
mm-hmm,
and really trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
Can you just, again, these are pull quotes, mm-hmm, right? Well, she talks a lot about her, but tell me about that. I mean, is that when you look in the mirror, you're kind of like, who is this? What do you, and how do you share it with your partner, by the way, which is the most important thing. How do you share that with Oscar?
Well, I guess.
Not getting too personal.
No, but I mean, I think I am tortured, as many people are, by negative feelings, negative reactions, jealousy, fear.
All the good gamut. Stuff.
Yeah, just everything. Self-loathing. I've got it. I've had it since I was a kid and it's still there. And so, which has resulted in bad behavior and self-sabotage and stuff like that. And so my process is to understand it. And also, I guess the big thing for me is shame. And I find shame goes once you speak about it. Like once you take it out of its, you know, the black box that you're hiding it in and you share it, it lifts it. So that's what my songs are. It's like, and God bless Oscar, you know, he's got his stuff too, so he's not completely shocked or dumbfounded by things that come out of my mouth. But, you know, he's very cool with me exploring my crap.
But you share a lot. I mean, you're doing a day in the life and you've done and you know, songwriting and all of that. So I'm going to be cynical just for fun. Is that for the biz or is that for you?
Well, if I'm honest, the biz being my label and people, they want me to do social media. But then for me, I have to find a way that's authentic for me. And what's authentic for me is to just be me.
And they go, and then they're sitting there. And again, your label's good.
Yeah.
But most labels would be like, what is she doing?
Oh my God, I know.
You don't understand this. You're in sight. You're, Allie, let me explain something to you. You're in cycle right now. This is part of the cycle. You're here and you're co-writing and you're playing the hotel cafe and then you're in cycle. Don't mess with the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
Yeah. Look.
Or do it as in my world.
mess with it.
Don't ever stop.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? And I think the thing about coming back to the first record, I was miserable after that experience because I expected to feel a certain way. I let everything be bigger than Ben Hur. I
was that so the much producer? I mean, when you no. let it be.
Me. It was me. It's no one else but me. I mean, my label can like say, we need this now. We need to do this. It needs to be that. And I can either go, okay, oh my God, oh my God, and stress about it. Or I can be like, cool, I will get that to you when I have it.
Right.
You know, and or, you know, they can say, it's the second, you know, people say, it's the second record. Are you really stressed? Are you blah, blah, blah? I'm like,
the dreaded
it's just another
album.
Record. I'm probably going to put out more, so
well,
what's the big
one,
deal?
One would hope, but yeah, I know the dreaded sophomore album.
I didn't have that experience. I didn't feel that experience, so I just...
It's
and
like
I'm
irrelevant.
Very grateful that I didn't have that experience.
What is the filter for your song? How do you know that it's a song you want to put out there? Do you ever think about that at all?
Yes, definitely, because I've got 9 songs in my Dropbox at the moment that I'm sort of listening to and going, oh, do you reckon, what is forming right now in this petri dish of my Dropbox folder?
You're the only other human being on a daily basis that probably uses the words petri dish. I use it all the time. People are like, what's a petri dish? I'm like, go on your computer,
yes,
go to Wikipedia, look up what a petri dish is.
Something is growing in there, and
right.
I don't know what it is yet. Well, it's getting there, but I don't know. It has to be fun. The lyrics are important. Like,
so what do you think's growing? I mean, just out of curiosity, if this record was the one that got so much out in the most definitive of ways, what do you think's growing?
Do you know what I think is growing is it's definitely more pop than that one.
Yes.
And so I guess I'm going to kick into the next gear of like, what am I trying to say? It's like condensing what this was and making it more immediate and more fun. More fun. That is pretty fun. But I mean like more sonically pop. You know, when I first started making songs and they were a lot more brooding and my voice was lower, and as slowly as I've gone on, you know, I want people to hear my music. I want people to dance to my music. I want people to have a good time. I also want to convey a message. I want to tell my story. And also I love like pop music. I grew up with Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and like Spice Girls, you know, like that is...
You just blew your entire cover, you realize. That
is deep, deep inside me.
Right.
And so like recently I've been listening to Timbaland produced records again and Neptunes, like that era. And so I want me some of that.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, it'll still be me. I don't want to frighten people off. But also like... Recently, I'm about to record a new single, and I'm, you know, it's like I love Lily Allen, but I love the Streets. So I'm pulling these kind of like less lush production into like more immediate, more fun, in your face, but singable and danceable.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And what it is 2 of your songs on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to pick anything you want.